Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 514. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How have you been in our unplanned extended holiday break?
That was due to both Jeremy and I having something to do Tuesday night. And then we kind of thought, him and I thought we might pull something off Wednesday, and then I honestly never ended up watching SmackDown last week. I ended up erasing it altogether. I did not watch that is the first time I've not watched SmackDown in a very long time. But I figured by Monday it was just time to get it off the DVR, and then I wasn't going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, after last Monday's Raw had a different energy to it, I watched last week's SmackDown, and it just was just the same old crap. That I had to turn it off for a while because I was trying to watch live, then I kind of skimmed it back through later. So yeah, no, you really didn't. You missed absolutely nothing. Just like tonight, as we are actually beginning recording, while SmackDown is still on, and we're not expecting anything earth-shattering to happen in the next 40 minutes.
It's been kind of interesting because I guess because we did take the week off, we did not really talk. I believe the news broke that Eric Bischoff, hold on, is he taking control of SmackDown?
Yes.
Okay, and Paul Heyman was going to be taking over Raw.
Correct.
The first thought in my mind that hit when those names were announced was, so those are the two young hip kids they're bringing in to modern up the product, huh?
Yep. That is a solid reaction to have, yes.
You know, I would have to say it would seem that it has come out more times than not that Paul Heyman has been behind some of the better moments on Raw recently. Because I feel like he ends up working with some of the better acts. Because, I mean, he didn't really help out Ronda Rousey. Like, I don't know if there's anything to really solve that problem on the mic, but, you know, I feel like, because, like, wasn't he supposedly kind of behind CM Punk's big pipe bomb speech, or at least kind of had some type of hand in it? Like, I feel like there are other...
No, I mean, and that's, you know, that was 8 years ago now. No, he was definitely not in the company then. Maybe they talked in their personal lives, but... No, I don't believe so.
Well, then that's a terrible example. I feel like I should have one in my brain, but it's just not that synapse is not firing. Am I just misthinking things here? Are there any moments?
Paul, he has had, I think for most of this year, he's been, you know, at least, I believe, an assistant writer or producer for, you know, he's been attending Raw, you know, most weeks, you know, weeks that Brock Lesnar's not even on the show, weeks he doesn't even have a promo, and working backstage. I mean, he's always kind of, because they've done a couple of things on him, like on either the network or on a DVD documentary where it's like, the talent goes to him for advice, whether the company's paying him for it or not, so they might as well start paying him for it.
Well, hey, if I was the company, I'd be like, hey, we're saving costs.
that's true too. But no, I mean you're absolutely right. You kind of hit it from the pessimistic cynical viewpoint of, you know, we're you know, as we are a culture, have, you know, the joke has been culturally that we're going back to the 90s, you know, and WWE is looking back to the 90s to right their ship. You know, Heyman has at least given off the image that he is still, you know, in the thick of things. He, you know, obviously he's there every week. He follows the product. He tries to at least give off an image that you know he's still hip and with it, and he and he's not in some, you know, old man bubble. That, you know, he knows what's going on in pop culture. He's, you know, hip to trends. I mean, obviously now he's going to have to prove that. I mean, he's an interesting figure in that, unlike Bischoff, he does not, I mean, other than that ECW ran out of money, he does not have any great creative failures on his resume.
Oh.
That, you know, that you can absolutely blame him for, you know, producing, you know, a bad wrestling, ever producing a bad wrestling product. The closest you can is the WWE ECW relaunch, but no one could have saved that. I mean, and, you know,
yeah,
you've always had the, you know, the blame on Vince for, you know, micromanaging that like everything else. So,
well, and plus, I mean, it was, they were still trying to run a very sanitized product, which,
right,
at the time wasn't part of the appeal, but I mean, I do think that they still worked on character way better in that fake ECW than maybe even regular ECW, and definitely WWE TV at the time.
Right.
yeah, and I was going to make that point. Like, he at least does, he sounds like he's kind of, like you said, he at least makes it sound like he kind of understands where trends are going as far as demographics and what viewers might want. Bischoff is still in television, is he not?
No, actually, that is a major part of his story. His television production company has, and basically all of his outside business ventures have gone belly up. There's been a lot of speculation that he at various points in the last few years, floating towards bankruptcy, and that's why he, you know, did the podcast with Conrad Thompson. That's why he does the live shows. That's why he does, you know, more personal appearances than he had been in years previous, because he absolutely needed the money. That's speculation.
Got you. I was unaware of this speculation, but I mean, it certainly has a vibe to it. If that is the case,
yeah. I mean, Bischoff has never had a reputation for being the most personable sort. It's one of it was probably one of his downfalls professionally. So, you know, I think there's, like, been some pictures out there of him at, like, autograph signings, just seemingly just making it plainly obvious that he is just there for the money, and he is not enjoying this experience at all.
Gotcha. man. Well, yeah, that does not make me feel any better. Even if you didn't say it, you know, even if he was enjoying those events, the fact that everything's kind of gone downhill for him, pretty much, that he's gotten his hands on, does not give me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, that is the thing. Bischoff has absolutely, you know, the failures of WCW are, the blood of WCW is very much on his hands. It's on a lot of people's hands, but his as much as anyone else's. TNA, he was at, I don't even know if I want to necessarily say, he's definitely one of the people who, you know, took Dixie Carter for a ride. I don't think that there's a lot of untruth in saying that, you know,
Him and
Hogan came in there. They really didn't have a plan. They didn't, you know, they took everything over, made it about themselves, particularly made it about Hogan, and essentially left TNA worse off than when they showed up. I mean, it's not all their fault. There's a lot of other people to blame, and, you know, Dixie Carter is the the Bucks should have stopped with Dixie Carter, but
right,
yeah,
yeah,
you know, they didn't help in the end.
No, and I don't know why I completely forgot about that TNA stint.
Oh well, but, everything but, right there. It's like it was within a matter of months. It was as if him and Hogan had never even been there.
Yeah. There's just so much bad TNA that I have a hard time keeping track. So, you know, just throw that. But yeah, I do remember that being pretty terrible on the whole, because I did watch entirely too much of that run. So yeah, I mean, I guess I just find it hard to believe that all the same faces are popping up. Like, it would be interesting if Road Dogg, let's say, I know, is he still with the company or did he, like, officially leave? Like, I can't remember.
I think he has been, I don't want to say he's in NXT right now. He's helping out at NXT. He might be helping right at NXT.
Okay.
So I guess he has been demoted. I guess you would call that a demotion.
Yeah, I mean, that's... someone like that would be a more interesting pick to me. I don't know if it's still the right one, necessarily. Just because it's still kind of in-house, but... it would certainly be a fresher perspective than anyone else could bring. So, but I mean, I guess that is kind of weird. Like, there's no like, a pipeline for wrestling writers, like, unless they come knocking at Stunt Granny's door for reasons unknown to us.
No, I mean, that is one of the major things. Maybe the closest thing to a great mind in wrestling that has come along in the last 20 years, the great new mind that's come along in the last 20 years, is arguably, you know, Gabe Sapolsky from his Ring of Honor through Evolve runs. And they actually have a relationship with him, and he works in NXT in addition to running Evolve, which is something we should also talk about later. but I mean, I can't really think of too many people who are, you know, who've made, you know, big moves in wrestling, you know, creatively. That is, you know, I mean, that is the big question about a new, you know, any kind of a new promotional arm, you know, new promotional effort getting underway is. Isn't about the talent available, wrestling talent available. It's about, you know, who's qualified to run a major wrestling company these days. I mean, the elite are, you know, Cody, Kenny, and the Bucks, along with the Khan family, are just completely, you know, flying blind, trying to, you know, run AEW on their own. You know, obviously, best of luck to them. But, you know, they're yeah. obviously going in the opposite direction. They weren't looking for, you know,
anyone.
A Bischoff or a Heyman. They're just gonna live and die on their own ideas. Which, you know, what I can respect that. And once again, we will certainly talk about their last show later as well. But. Yeah, I mean, I guess because it seems like they're within the WWE corporate structure. It seems like they're maybe very well be just be creating yet another layer of bureaucracy that, you know, separates the talent from Vince or separates the other writers from Vince. I'm not sure if Bischoff and Heyman will be coming up with will Bischoff and Heyman be allowed to come up with, you know, the broad ideas, and Vince will step back and loosen the reins and just kind of let them go creatively, and he will, you know, only step in when something needs to be majorly changed.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of the equation too. Like, what exactly is the setup. Like, I guess I don't feel like there's been a full explanation. I mean, when you call someone, what are they calling them, executive directors or something like that?
Creative directors.
Creative director. Like, I mean, it's a very corporate-y sounding.
It is very corporate. I mean, you might as well, you know, if you want to be all go all Hollywood, you might as well call them showrunners. Or is Vince still the showrunner in Hollywood TV speak?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of interesting variables to this equation for the WWE. And it's not necessarily going to lead to a better product. Like, I mean, like I said, like, I mean, that really was the first thought. I'm like, man, why'd they go to those two guys? Like,
the hope is age and experience can bring structure, but new ideas. And you know what? Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. Or maybe they should have just put, you know, someone new in charge. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there were promising signs in, you know, Raw last Monday that were completely wiped away last night.
I mean, yesterday was so video package heavy. Like, I just was really.
Oh. Breaking news. Cesaro has knocked on Aleister Black's door, and he will be his opponent at Extreme Rules.
Oh, you know, kind of funny. I guess I was reading that was kind of the plan at some point.
I read that as well, but it's confirmed now. Sorry, we can go back. I probably we should have broken in with that.
I guess I don't know what to think about that one. Like, they've actually been building up Cesaro, so why are you going to have him be the guy that beats the new guys now?
I think that there will continue to be no faith in Cesaro as a top-level singles competitor, and Aleister Black will win, and then eventually Cesaro will end up in another tag team.
Fair enough.
Yeah, well, that was pretty succinct.
that is quite possible. Like, I guess I kind of find it. I've found the Cesaro push weird, and I like it. Like, I'm always going to be behind Cesaro, but I guess I always think that there's something sinister down the line for him too.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of one of those consistent things that they've never consistently got behind him. And I mean, I guess I could see someone like Heyman appreciating him a little bit more than a Vince McMahon.
Yeah, and that is the thing. How much control will these two be able to have? And, you know, how, and you know, will Vince McMahon be able to, you know, help himself, but to just completely, you know, re-edit and rewrite, you know, what they present to him. I mean, will they even get a chance to, you know, create a new vision for each show? Because that is what is going to be needed as we head into the fall. And these new TV deals, particularly the Fox debut.
Yeah.
These shows need to look and feel differently from each other. You know, the only things they should have in common are a ring, wrestlers, and commentators, and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, everything else should be very different. The, you know, from production elements, from the set and stage, camera angle. You know, they should try to do so many different things on each show. Maybe pushing different styles on each show, or what have you. And
Well, I'll tell you one thing that certainly I'm just fascinated by it at this juncture. That the rings that the WWE is jumping through to not have action on Raw during the commercials. Like, I went from like completely annoyed by it a couple of weeks ago to now it's just kind of a sport. Like, I just want to see what they keep on coming up with
to bridge these gaps. A mixed tag team elimination match. That may have been, that is WCW TNA at its worst level stupid. What the hell would have happened if Andrade would have beat Seth Rollins? After Becky had already beaten Selena.
That's a good question. I guess the way the match played out, it would be the scenario that you're talking about. But yeah, I mean,
they are jumping through hoops. I mean, at this point, you cannot have a good show under this policy. With these kind of creative handcuffs on you. This has to stop, or Bischoff and Heyman and McMahon have to go in a room and with whoever else is in the inner circle and figure out, okay, how do we have, how do we solve this problem without having, action in, do we just do shorter matches? Do we have, instead of, having matches actually going on, maybe there's like microphone work and a lot of stalling, which is usually what stuff like that usually is what happens anyway. So I'm not really sure. It's like Vince is trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist.
Well, and it's kind of funny because on SmackDown they're still getting away with it because they have the commercial going on while the action's in the small box. And I guess at this point SmackDown's been doing it long enough that. I guess I'm assuming there's some type of constraint on Raw that they won't allow that to happen or can't do that. Like, I don't know if it's advertisers pay more for Raw or what the situation is, but...
Right.
So, SmackDown gets away with it for two matches every week, and A, because it's an hour shorter, that makes a difference... And it helps you continue the action instead of just this. Like I said, it's just a sport now for me. They are putting creative juice into a situation that shouldn't need creative juice.
Yeah, there's you can do shorter matches, take longer. Working out with the network to take longer breaks after longer matches or things of that nature or have the heel jump out of the ring at the right time when they're not on camera and start grabbing the microphone and doing of course I guess for the live crowd you can't do that at every match but there are too many long matches on TV anyway. It kills the pay-per-views. It makes the pay-per-views less special when you have more and more long matches on TV. Of course, this problem would go away if Raw was only 2 hours, but that's not happening.
Nope.
Having to stretch that show out with long matches. Sometimes when they get lazy, they stretch out SmackDown with really long matches and. In general, there's a problem. I'm starting to feel like there's a problem in wrestling. There's just so much "quote unquote" good wrestling out there that it's all just starting to feel and look the same, and great matches just aren't standing out anymore like they used to.
Well, I do think that there has definitely been a raise in quality content. I feel like all of us at some juncture or another the last few years, honestly, it's kind of crazy. I don't know how long at this point, this is completely off the rails, but how long I've been recording with you personally, but like I almost feel like the entire time that you've been on Stunt Granny with us, like the quality of wrestling hit was good then and has only gotten better. Like on a consistent basis, no matter where it is, like I think that's why half the time I find ROH livable to watch. Part of it might be the fact that I do have a tendency to watch while we're recording, so I don't have to listen to the promos, and I just see action. And because there's still good action there for the most part.
Yeah, I'm glad that the level of work rate has increased in wrestling, and we're seeing all these excellent matches. And but there just comes a point where you're just filling. The worst part is when they fill time with matches that don't matter. The work is good, but it leads to nothing, and that is what they do a lot of times on, you know, Raw and SmackDown both. These matches that do, you know, stretch from two or three commercial breaks that have absolutely zero effect on anything that's going on, that have these matches with absolutely no stakes to them.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, and I'm not really trying to jump ship to talk about New Japan necessarily, but I'm going to anyway.
That's fine.
But it's just from a production standpoint, and exactly what you were just talking about too. New Japan doesn't run every week, and you know it gives it. They have a completely different vibe because of how the companies run. You know, and having a weekly program certainly will limit anyone that comes into the WWE. Like, you've got to jump through so many hoops to produce that much content. And New Japan doesn't seem pressured to produce more content.
You know? Really, what New Japan does is essentially, they're putting on these shows or, you know, house shows anyway, and they just, you know, put a camera on them and lay an announce track over it, and they're good.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess it's the other thing that I always, like, and just kind of comparing the companies too, like, you were talking about these long matches leading to nothing, like, you would never have a long match in New Japan and not have the guy really sell an injury the next match.
No.
Like, even if the events are like weeks apart, they're like, oh, Tanahashi's elbow is still beat up because it's been beat up the last couple of months and everyone's been targeting it. And, you know, he hasn't gotten it fixed yet. And it honestly leads to failures in outcomes. And that is such a rare thing on WWE TV. No, like, you can have that long match.
Or you can do an outrageous stunt bump and have one of the wrestlers involved come back a week later without a scratch on him and then win a match in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and Braun Strowman was the one who was on offense, but Lashley is the one who was okay. Tell me how that makes sense.
Well, the reason it makes sense is that the WWE has, and I'm just gonna put it this way, like, because I saw him be good in TNA.
Yes, we definitely did.
You know, I don't think a lot of people agreed upon that. So, like, this is one that I'm like, this is squarely on the WWE for screwing up Lashley so bad that they need to have him come back from that stunt bump early, because they've already built up Braun Strowman like a madman. Like, you know, they'll still have him do ridiculous stuff like pulling semis, I'm sure, in the future, because of course he can. But, you know, Lashley kind of needs that kind of aura. And to me, that's the reason that happened. Like, Lashley should have that aura. Like, he should be regarded closely to a Brock Lesnar. I know he didn't become champion in any of the whatever fighting league he was in. But the guy still won more than he lost. Or is he completely undefeated? No, I thought he lost at least one, didn't he?
I think there was a loss on there.
But whatever the case, like, he definitely won more than he lost. So it's just like, there's no reason this guy shouldn't be presented as a serious threat. And somehow, like, because Drew McIntyre still kind of came out of that situation. I don't know how he's kind of I think he's kind of unscathed because, you know, the one thing that I did enjoy on SmackDown tonight before we started, Samoa Joe he has been destroying promos for just a solid year plus here now. And really pretty much his entire WWE main roster run. So that, you know, there are some things to look forward to, but hold on, how do we get back to that point? Holy shit, DeFrango. I know we got here for some reason, because it started with the differences with New Japan and selling injuries. And Bobby Lashley being presented. That's how we got there. Yeah. It wasn't that far of a leap. I think Lashley needed that. It's kind of weird that it kind of happened now. You know, like, it's always one of those things. It's kind of like the stuff with Cesaro. It's just like, oh, you're giving this guy a push again, huh? Like, they've kind of started and stopped with Lashley a couple of times, and they, yep. You know, he's only established because he is completely ginormous. Like, he would be lower down the card if that guy wasn't a small house. And completely athletic.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, I mean, they have absolutely, yeah, they messed with Lashley from the start. They never, you know, set him on a collision course with Brock Lesnar upon his arrival. You know, he messed around with, you know, the Eliases and Sami Zayns of the world too much. This is before they turned him heel.
Oh,
you know, and this right. is all before. Then they turned him heel, aligned him with. The Lord knows we talk about this ad nauseum. The Lashley Corbin McIntyre alliance.
Oh, and you're not even talking about the Leo Rush phase.
The Leo Rush phase that, you know, went in and out. You know, and is now completely out. I don't even know if Leo Rush is still with the company anymore. I don't know if they know. I don't know if he knows. You know, and now he's been on his own. He's been feuding with Braun Strowman, but the feud with Braun Strowman has been weird because they were just thrown together at Super Showdown in Jeddah. Strowman won that match pretty handily, and then they kept them together, and they did the arm wrestling deal, the tug of war deal, and they had their Falls Count Anywhere match last week. It was, you know, a good match with a dramatic, we talked about the dramatic finish, and, you know, it might have been the start of something, but then, you know, they brought Lashley back last night. You know, without a mark on him, and then Strowman's gonna be back on Sunday, and I'm still thinking that Strowman's going to win that match. I still think that, you know, Strowman's going to be the still be the priority to push going forward.
Oh, right. Agreed.
So Lashley will be back to square one again. And along the way, they absolutely pissed all over Rey Mysterio for absolutely no reason as well.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that part up, because that was just like, really? You decided to pick Rey for this job? Like, of
don't
all...
Don't you have three Lucha House Party members to choose from?
Yeah, they don't need to be chasing after Drake Maverick.
Yeah.
They can go out and lose a singles match quite well on their own and kind of prove the same point. Yeah. If that was one of Heyman's ideas, like, I know that it ends up making it a statement because it's against Rey Mysterio, but Rey's just been handled, twice already recently? Because Samoa Joe handled him, too.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I think Rey Mysterio can bounce back from anything because he's Rey Mysterio, like, that just doesn't help you in the long run that he's getting starched this easily by multiple people.
No, it's not. It really was indefensible that, you know, to have him be destroyed like that by Lashley. When I'm not confident, it's the beginning of, you know, a big run for Lashley. I mean, it was just to heat him up for one match with Braun Strowman that I'm still thinking he's going to lose. Or maybe it's a longer feud with Strowman. I'm not sure, but for whatever. I'm not confident that, you know, Lashley's going to get it, end up with his hand raised.
Right.
But I guess the overarching problem with WWE TV is it needs a complete overhaul. It needs long term planning. It needs a new look. It needs a new coat of paint. It needs, you know, deep, you know. It doesn't just need cosmetic changes either. It needs, you know, deep changes to philosophy and format. It's just part of the problems we've been talking about is, you know, getting back to our almost getting all the way back to our original point about, you know, the commercial breaks and the excuses that they're coming up having to come up with to not have any action during the breaks. And, you know, you know, long wrestling segments to pad the shows is, nothing feels like it matters. Nothing feels significant.
Well, and then,
we've seen guys lose and lose and lose and then immediately just win one match and get a title shot.
Well,
we've seen guys go on winning streaks and get nothing. We've seen, you know, wrestlers win non-title matches but not get a title match. We've seen wrestlers lose non-title matches and still somehow get a title match. It's asinine.
Yeah, and you were talking about the commercial break thing. Like, that was another thing I thought about with New Japan, is that they were just airing the matches, and then it was a longer commercial break.
Yes. That I liked a lot, but Access TV pretty much only has commercials for their own programming. they're really not an ad-supported network. I'm actually not sure how they make money.
That is true, that they do not have very many commercials for other products on their network there. But it's still done with other TV shows. Like, I mean, I still think it's one of those brilliant format things for South Park that they do their opening montage, and then they go immediately to commercials so that more of the show is packed into the last, like, 20 minutes of the program. Like, that's a format thing that, to me, I've always admired. And then there's just sporting events. Like, soccer goes for 45 minutes, you know, without a break. And, you know,
but it struggles on U.S. television, though, too.
Because
of that.
It still has better ratings than Raw most of the time. So there is that. But I don't, something like those changes, I think, would benefit. Like, I mean, you're talking about changing the format. Like, I think that you need to look into something like that. Like, I don't know, like I said, like, I don't understand why Raw can't do the commercial matches like SmackDown does. They say, I think it's like two matches every week that SmackDown does that. And why is that not possible on Raw? Like, it definitely helps you get around that asinine rule that's been brought up. But I mean, well, I guess the asinine rule really shouldn't be around anyway.
No, it shouldn't. No, it shouldn't at all. I, like I said, we've talked about we've talked about ways that WWE can work around this issue, or not work around it, or because I'm not even sure if long matches that go through commercial breaks is even really a problem. It's that matches are because when a match has an ad break between it, when a match has two ad breaks between it, you're reminded how long in your life you've spent watching this match. And if that match is not a title match or not a big feud grudge match, you've pretty much wasted 20, 30 minutes of your life watching something that doesn't matter.
Well, that did bring me that does make me think about another comparison there to New Japan, which I did get a hoot out of your comment that said life's too short to watch the tag matches on these G1 Climax shows.
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, there are going to be 19 shows over the next 4 weeks. You do not need to watch those damn tag matches. Those opening tag matches. No one does. Nothing is going to happen during any of them that is going to be of any act all that importance to your viewing experience of trying to get through 19 shows in 4 weeks.
I 'cause for some reason I ended up I mean, I guess I kind of half-assed watched them. Like, I feel like I was doing a little bit of housework as I was watching that. So I don't feel too bad about that. And are they broadcasting all of them live on Access or just
No,
those?
only the Saturday shows.
Okay.
And then I'm sure that once they get to the final, the final 3 nights, the A block final, the B block final, and then the grand final, I'm sure all of those shows will be. I believe that's on Saturday. Actually, I believe that's going to be on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. All, that's going to be like the same weekend as SummerSlam, I believe.
Oh,
Which
okay.
will mean the Saturday show will air opposite TakeOver as well.
Oh.
But
Yeah.
it's just the hour-long episode of New Japan, and you could just watch later. Yeah,
Oh.
not a big deal.
Yeah.
Or however long it's gonna be, you know what I mean.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm sure that they will certainly make sure that the final 3 nights will air on Access at some point over several weeks in August, or days or weeks in August.
Right, and I mean, I guess that's what's kind of again to talk about their format a little bit. They run their shows. There's enough involved in their couple of nights that they stretch it out over several weeks. And I guess I'm still not much of one to look for spoilers. So I, in general, like, unless the news pops up on my phone, which unfortunately it does occasionally now, like, I just swipe away any results shows or posts just to still stay away from it. So I guess I still am cool with taped wrestling. I don't really look for spoilers for the regular TV shows that I watch.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
I don't want to spoil anything for myself. Like,
that's That's excellent. That's very good. Sometimes I can't help myself, but no, I'm glad you stay spoiler free. I mean, for something like the G1, I mean, the G1 is always hard to keep up with. You know, once again, it's at 19 shows. I mean, they all air on NJPW World Live and then on demand. You know, obviously you skip the tag matches and you can, you know, skip through other things. I mean, the B block this year isn't the A block, as we saw from Saturday night. The A block is absolutely loaded with talent, and of course it's a round robin tournament, so everyone's going to wrestle everyone. So there is some incredible stuff still coming in that A block.
Oh well, I'm still having a hard time getting over Lance Archer.
I guess in a nearly 20-year career, congratulations, buddy! You finally had a good singles match for once. That's mean, but not untrue.
Hey, congratulations for having a great match against what a lot of people are considering the best wrestler in the world currently. And I didn't like the claw back in the day when I watched it originally.
I was not a fan of that at all. I get in Dallas, it's especially going to get something of a reaction. Although the, you know, the new millennial generation Y fans in attendance did not get the call back to the Von Erichs.
It's certainly one of those things where, even though, like, I guess it's still one of those things where I do not have the level of free time that some people have, I'm assuming, because I don't really watch too many old wrestling shows at this point. And, like, I know I have access to stuff, I would assume, that has the Von Erichs in it, but I just don't watch it. You know, is there anything on the WWE Network? I'm assuming there's something.
The entire run of World Class Television is on the network, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I haven't watched a single episode. Like, I know that some of yins have, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, just keep humble bragging about your active, productive, busy life. All right, fine.
I
am absolutely jealous of you. That you don't get so caught up in this wrestling bullshit, wrestling Twitter bullshit. I am actually jealous that you have that full of a life. Because Lord knows I don't.
Well, and some of it's just not even that. Like, I just, there are a lot of times I just shake my head at shit and I'm just like, nah, man, that's just not even going to bother me. But, but getting caught up in that stuff and then, but also just like, I mean, I guess I know I could watch that stuff on the network, but it's just like, no, I'd rather watch, like, I mean, I just binged Into the Badlands this weekend. We went to go see Spider-Man over the weekend. Like, there's a, you know, there's still just a lot of options for viewing. And I mean, obviously,
there's a lot. Yeah. So yeah, I'll put a little more of my time into, you know, watching old wrestling. But yeah, I mean, if something cools on and, you know, I'm not gonna watch World Class Wrestling from 1985 over the latest season of Stranger Things. I won't be doing. No.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, there's probably time in my day that I could watch that stuff, but, you know, it's just that I choose not to, I guess. Like, and I guess I still, again, even to get to it, like, I use 5 hours of my week to watch the WWE programming, at least. And then even more, like, because, honestly, like, I Oh, I was glad that you told me about the Bleacher Report Live sign up. But I still haven't gotten. I did not end up watching Jon Moxley versus Joey Janela yet. Like, I watched the rest of the show, but it's one of those things that I just haven't gotten around to that match. I think my computer restarted or something like that because I need to replace this thing. So I don't have it in a window anymore, but it is something that I want to watch at some point, but I just haven't gotten to. But it's also like easy to know what happens. Like, it's so funny that I watch like the Road to Fyter Fest or whichever the program is. And I watch the Being Elite at the office now. So, like, we're supposed to take a half-hour break. And that's one of those things that I always go out of my way to watch now. So even though I didn't watch the end of that, or didn't watch that match, I've kind of been filled in enough that I don't, in some ways, I don't need to. You know?
Right. I get that.
So, and I guess that's some of it too. Like, well, yeah, like there's a lot of now wrestling that I catch, and it's, you know, yeah. If you and I think this is a topic that we've kind of talked about. If you can't find wrestling that you like right now, you're the one with the problem.
Yeah, absolutely, and that includes all the old wrestling you can find on the WWE Network and YouTube as well. You know, there is nothing you can't watch.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, I mean, you and I took the time out to watch Absolute Intense Wrestling because they, you know, had the J-Lit tournament on Fight TV there.
Yes. They will be doing their Absolution show the first weekend in the first Friday in August as well on Fight.
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately, oh, that would be hilarious to watch that with Jeremy. Actually, We will be down at his place. So.
Oh, really? You're going to Casa de Jeremy, huh? How about that?
So
you better bang out some. Well, no, you if you two are going to be in the same room, you should bang out a podcast or two.
Well, we're going to be there a couple of days, so actually, that might be a real. That's a real option. As we talk, thanks for hatching that idea. But, yeah, I definitely think that we could get around to that and do a show about that that weekend at some juncture when we're sober. But, yeah, I spend a lot of time watching wrestling, and, I mean, you can choose to watch the newer stuff or the older stuff or both, you know? Like, it's just kind of one of those things, again, like, you have the choice, and I guess to kind of get back to the Lance Archer stuff, like...
Wow, we're going back there.
just to finish the point, really, is that, you know, how many people, like, if I'm not finding the time and you're not really finding the time to watch the Von Erich stuff, like, do you think the millennials or even the Generation Z kids... who are, you know, in their early 20s now.
Is it Generation Z or Y?
Z.
It's Z?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I said it wrong.
Yeah, it's... I'm... Yeah, tail end of X? Or no.
Y and Millennials are the same thing, then.
Yeah, Y and Millennials are the same
thing.
I'm Y.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's another thing that's always hilarious. It's just like, no, the millennials are a lot older than you think.
Yeah, the oldest millennial is going to be 40 in 2020, I believe, or something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, I just kind of missed
40 in 2023, oh my god. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Well, I'm not the resident old guy of Stunt Granny. That title goes to Jeremy. but is the second oldest around here. I just am embracing it at this juncture.
I'm the baby.
But yeah, like none of the four of us find the time to really watch that stuff consistently. And like, I guess even our friends like Steve, who do watch that stuff, like it's not always consistently, like, and it's just every now and again.
Yeah, no, it's there. It's comforting. I actually watch, I actually just got made through the entire TV run of Mid-South, actually. It's taken years to do it.
Right.
You know, what's that? But, you know, it's there. It's comforting. Sometimes, you know what? When they drop that Superstars, you know, those 1992 Superstars episodes, you know, I watched all the way through all of those. Uh-huh. But man, it was like such comfort. It was like such a comfort food thing. I almost fell asleep during it. It wasn't like I was bored. It was just like, oh, this just feels nice. This just feels right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would be interested in kind of watching something that I know that I probably watched back in the day, just to kind of, because, I mean, I know that I've seen, you know, a promo here and there or something in a video package, but to just watch what the, even watch, I always remember that once we finally got a VCR, that we would record Saturday night's main event. And I always tried to get a little bit of a taste before we went to Mass every Sunday. And I'd love to watch, one of those Saturday night's main events. Is that a whole separate category, or is
yes, it is. Yes, oh. Yes. Every Saturday's nice. Main event, including including the 2000s NBC relaunch that failed, they're all on there.
Outstanding.
yes, because DX versus the Spirit Squad is what you, is what you think when somebody says Saturday's main event.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's quite a main event there. Oh man, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that has an interest to me. Like, I mean, I'm not completely immune to the whole nostalgia thing. I do think that occasionally I am not as wistful as other persons, and I'm not really throwing shade on anyone that that I record with necessarily, but. yeah, I guess I'm always cool with kind of living in the now, and the now wrestling, there's plenty of it, and I guess even kind of going back to the WWE a little bit, at least Vince has given up some type of power, I suppose, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. This is honestly the time of the year that things always kind of are weird anyway for the WWE. I guess normally they get through SummerSlam in okay shape, and then it kind of dawdles from about SummerSlam until they get to, mid-December. And even then things get weird because of Christmas. I guess this is an interesting time of the year to give the reins to someone else.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, the expectation is that after Extreme Rules and the build-up to SummerSlam, maybe we'll hopefully be seeing more and more changes. Bischoff is in the process of moving his family from their ranch in Wyoming to Stamford, Connecticut. Boy, is that a... Boy, is that a change.
Right.
So that he can work in the office full time while also obviously traveling to SmackDown TV. Obviously, Bischoff is going to need a much longer learning curve than Heyman as far as what's been going on lately and the process and everything. But, you know, I mean, the overall plan, I assume should be for them to be fully comfortable in their roles and have their vision in place by the time the quote unquote new fall season starts, even though wrestling, WWE programming never goes away.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess that was the other thing I was interested in is if there has been any type of outline for what's going on, you know, set up or solidified anywhere, because I don't feel like I've seen one. Like, I feel like I saw the announcement, but it didn't feel like it said starting now or starting next week. You know, how many plans do they need to keep because that's the way they're going and you can't... Because, like... I definitely think that Kevin Owens is one of those guys that, oh boy, man, that shit is confusing. You know, bring him back as a babyface, throw him into being heel for a minute, and now seems to be a babyface again.
Maybe you weren't paying attention, but SmackDown. Did end with Kevin Owens giving Shane the stunner. So he is absolutely 100% a babyface. And
oh, okay, and yeah.
Apparently they're going to go all the way with him as a babyface.
Yeah, I know that I did get to the end of SmackDown already, but I must have missed that part. I've got to admit, I have some split... split things that I'm paying attention to. But yeah, I mean, I guess to me it's another one of those things that it's just you're not doing your wrestlers any favors by doing that kind of thing. Like, and to me it's weird too that just another guy is having a feud with Shane McMahon. Like, why are there three major superstars on Raw and SmackDown having a feud with Shane McMahon all at the same time?
That I don't know. And Kevin Owens feels like he just got out of a feud with Shane McMahon that went nearly a year. of course, with the face heel alignment different.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that they felt like they had to run with Kevin Owens as a heel to get through a 1 month of a pay-per-view with Kofi, essentially.
Oh, right.
Because it did feel like, you know, the crowd has been ready for a while for Kevin Owens as a babyface, and to have that detour, it definitely hurts it a little bit, but... I mean, Kevin Owens is a great performer. So I mean, he and his performance in the parking lot scene with Dolph, and then taking over the microphone and being the voice of the downtrodden superstars who don't get to be on TV because Shane McMahon is all over TV. He did well with all that material.
Yeah, which...
So, I
think they almost killed their own point by having all the performers that Owens mentioned on TV tonight. Like, because he mentions Kairi Sane and Asuka, and sure enough, they actually get a segment for, like, the first time in... Lord only knows how long.
Yeah, they got a segment.
And someone else, I feel like, that Owens was talking about got a segment. And I'm just like, you can't undercut his point the same night that he does this. Like,
yeah.
I guess I'm okay with doing this, but come on, people. Like, just hold out one more week of not showing Asuka and... Kairi Sane, like, really? Why is Shinsuke Nakamura showing up all of a sudden? Like, and that's just a whole just weird thing too.
Nah, I mean, they've been promoting Nakamura and Balor is having a match for the last week. I mean,
oh, okay.
And that I liked. I like that a heel went into a non-title match with the intention of absolutely destroying the champion to earn himself a title match. And he did.
Oh. It was okay, a... well, I guess that's what cost me last week, then. Not watching last week.
Maybe they announced it on Twitter after the show. I'm not really sure, actually.
Okay.
But it's been out there for a while, and so, you know...
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be Nakamura versus Balor. I'm not going to complain about it. It doesn't look like they're going to, you know, move in that direction for, I believe this Extreme Rules card is already 9 matches deep, and only one of those matches is going to end up on the kickoff, so...
Oh.
I imagine that they might save Nakamura versus Balor for SummerSlam with Balor, you know, like he does on all the big shows. Except at the Royal Rumble against Brock. he's gonna be the demon.
I was just like, oh my god, why did he get destroyed that way? And I'm like, well, that does give him an excuse to bring out the demon. I would imagine that Shinsuke will kind of get the better of him in some other situations going forward to help aggravate Balor enough to go demon on everybody. So, right. You know, I guess that's all good in the hood. I guess it would have helped if I would have known, honestly, if I had known that they had been hyping that a little bit. And I guess I am all for it. Like, it's always one of those things that you don't know if it is the wrestler's fault or their fault. Like, I mean, they were talking about Shinsuke not showing that fire before, and I mean... I guess I don't feel like since he fought Sami Zayn in NXT for his first match, like, he didn't really have a banger of a match.
No, he really hasn't. The AJ feud was a disappointment. Nothing else he's done since has really been all that good. But, you know, based on his reputation and his entrance and his natural charisma, he's someone you could always kind of... heat back up when you need a challenger for pretty much any championship,
right?
And that's a valuable role to have. I mean, him and he'll be motivated to have a good match with Finn, and that's a fine direction to go for SummerSlam. I expect that they'll now at this point they might as well hold off on doing the Iconics versus Asuka and Kairi Sane until SummerSlam, so that's something.
Oh.
That's something for them.
Right.
Both of them, I should say, because the Iconics still have not actually defended the Tag Team Championship since WrestleMania.
Oh, didn't they defend them against the...
A couple of jobbers, yes. Okay, they have not suspended them since the week after WrestleMania on TV.
They beat
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Oh,
that was a tag team championship match, so yes, they have. Okay, all right, and that was in the last month. Okay.
twice is still not exactly a high rate since WrestleMania.
No, it is not. No, it is not at all.
I agree with you. Like, I'm cool with holding off on those feuds, which, again, kind of ironically, if you're telling the story with Kevin Owens about Shane hogging too much TV time, we're just talking about two feuds that don't necessarily need TV time right now.
No.
Or at least the one, like, I guess since the Balor and Shinsuke thing was hyped up some, so there's no reason to cut that one, but the Iconics confronting Ember Moon and the Iconics running into Kairi Sane and Asuka.
Was it the Iconics or was it Mandy and Sonya who...
Oh, shit. It's Mandy and Sonya.
Oh, They all look alike to you.
Yeah, pretty much. Corey Graves would lynch me for for not thinking of Mandy Rose that way. But yeah, I guess I forgot. But I guess that's another feud where it's a good thing to have. Like, they need more character development for all of those women in general. So they do need TV time, but it's just to me an odd time to do so. You know, especially on a quote unquote go home show before a pay-per-view. Because like there just all week there are so many video packages. Like I know that the WWE does a lot of video packages, but whew, man, that just it seemed like way more video packages than normal to me.
I didn't really notice that many video packages, at least more than usual on a pay-per-view week. But if you did, then you did.
Well, is there anything else to cover before we mosey on out of here? We've kind of touched upon the other names in wrestling, New Japan and AEW. Is there anything more to talk about those events?
I mean, only that this is going to be a really packed weekend of wrestling. There is obviously WWE Extreme Rules on Sunday. Saturday night has AEW Fight for the Fallen for free on Bleacher Report, and WWE airing the Evolve 10th Anniversary Show featuring stars from NXT, including an NXT champion, Adam Cole defending the NXT championship against Akira Tozawa from 205 Live. In the main events, there are going to be two G1 shows on Saturday and Sunday, a B Block show and an A Block show. The B Block show will also air that night on in some capacity. I don't know if they're just going to edit out the like maybe a 2 hour version that only has the tournament singles matches and the tag matches. I don't know how Access is going to be handling that on their end.
Right.
So yeah, five wrestling shows for you to watch, for those of you out there to watch,
Yeah, and
amongst maybe other wrestling shows that might be on Fight TV or some other streaming service. Who knows? Independent wise, who knows?
yeah, and it's gonna be a weekend that my parentals are gonna be in town, so my viewing habits are going to be terrible.
Mine will be too for the most part, because I know I've got something going on mostly Saturday into the night, so I won't be watching. I do not unless something happens and I end up home early. I will not be watching either Fight for the Fallen or Evolve Live. I will. So I'm sure I will watch. I mean, maybe I'll sneak in some New Japan stuff because I can, pick and choose what I'd want to watch there.
Oh, right.
WWE Extreme Rules, I'm sure I'll end up watching that live, and I'll catch, Fight for the Fallen and Evolve whenever I can. Maybe Sunday, maybe Monday, who knows? But yeah, but there's a lot to choose from, and it will all be on demand as well. So
Yeah.
we will get as much of it watched as we can before next Tuesday. We will promise you that. We promise we will try.
And that is a good way to advertise for at Chris Calamita and at DeFrango11 for the at Stunt Granny Network. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
Later.